Whereas Elijah castigates and produces miracles, whereas Elisha oversees the overthrowing of monarchies, these new prophets speak more often in poetry than prose and proclaim visions filled with mysterious metaphors, as much messianic in nature as they are pragmatic and political. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 22, The Earthquake and the Evolution of Prophecy. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. It was not long ago that the papers described the discovery of archaeological evidence of a natural event that struck the Holy Land thousands of years ago, one made all the more interesting by the fact that this event is mentioned in the Bible. The Jerusalem Post reports, quote, some 2,800 years ago, a powerful earthquake hit the land of Israel. Now, for the first time, archaeologists found evidence of the event in Jerusalem, in the City of David National Park, the Antiquities Authority announced Wednesday, end quote. As the article further explains, it is thanks to the prophet Amos that we are able to date this earthquake, for his is the only biblical book that begins by noting a natural disaster. Amos opens with this sentence. The words of Amos, a sheep breeder from Tekoa, who prophesied concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. We are thus informed that an earthquake occurred during Uzziah's reign, which would be in the 8th century BCE. No more is said by Amos about it, but it is clear from the Bible, as the article further notes, that the experience of the earthquake was so terrifying that it was emblazoned on the memory of Judeans. For hundreds of years later, the prophet Zechariah, describing an entirely other event, proclaimed as follows, and the valley and the hills should be stopped up, for the valley of the hills shall reach only to Azal. It shall be stopped up as it was stopped up as a result of the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah, and the Lord my God with all the holy beings will come to you. This, as the article notes, suggests, quote, how strong of a collective memory it left, end quote. What is the natural disaster that appears in Amos, and that lingers in Judaic memory for generations to follow, supposed to signify? The answer, it would seem, is that it embodies the political earthquake that takes place at that time in the Near East, a threat that will destroy the northern kingdom of Israel forever and almost eradicate Judaism itself. But in the midst of this national security tremor, we can perhaps discover another earthquake, a breach in the barriers between humanity and God, resulting in the pouring forth of prophecy and the creation of some of the most sustaining scriptural passages in the Bible, ones which continue to inspire the world to this very day. We left off with King Uzziah, whose national security success in Jerusalem led to arrogance and ultimately divinely directed affliction. This was followed by an actual earthquake. Let us review the newly found archaeological evidence, and here I cite a parallel piece on the subject in the Times of Israel. Quote, while evidence of the earthquake had been found in the past at other sites in Israel, such as Hazor and Tel Safi Gath, archaeologists had never uncovered any indication of it in Jerusalem, until they were surprised to find broken vessels and other signs of destruction in some buildings in the City of David, dating back to a period when Jerusalem was not subjected to any conquest or other violent event. In an upcoming research paper, the archaeologists chart, for example, that in one particular 8th century BCE structure, the destruction layer did not show signs of fire, yet other factors suggested the building had been damaged in a traumatic event, apparently an earthquake. This was most notable on the earliest floor of the southernmost room, they write. In this room, a row of smashed vessels was uncovered along its northern wall, above which fallen stones had been found. It appears that these stones were the upper part of the walls of the room which had collapsed, destroying the vessels which had been set along the wall, end quote. If Jerusalem itself was vulnerable to this earthquake, then clearly for the biblical text, it was meant as some sort of signal for Jerusalem. Rabbi Alex Israel argues that it cannot be a coincidence that precisely at this point in time, we see the rise of a series of prophets, including Amos, Hosea, and the seer whose visions would center on Jerusalem so profoundly and impact our understanding of the past and future of the city, Isaiah. Rabbi Alex Israel argues that this plethora of prophecy reflects the urgency of the hour, an Israelite emergency, which can be linked to nothing less than the rise of the Assyrian Empire. We know from artifacts in the British Museum that already in the 840s BCE, the Assyrian king Shalmaneser III had forced northern Israel to submit to him. Shalmaneser will be followed by greater enemies of Israel, such as Tiglath-Pileser, who comes to the throne in the 740s BCE, to be succeeded by Sargon and then Sancheriv. At their hands, the northern kingdom will be destroyed, and Jerusalem and Judea threatened as never before. For Rabbi Alex Israel, it is the threat of Assyria in Hebrew Ashur that explains the preponderance of prophecy. He writes, quote, "We are witness to a veritable burst of prophetic voices. Typically, Tanakh features the prophet as a lone figure. Only a single prophet occupies the national stage at any given moment in time. A historical epic in which multiple prophetic voices sound in parallel suggests a message that must be heard, as God funnels his guidance through a variety of channels, determined, so to speak, that the message penetrate. God's sending of prophet after prophet indicates an impending catastrophe. The looming danger is the ascent of the empire of Ashur, a superpower the likes of which the Middle East has never seen. It is a historical event that will fundamentally change the region. Ashur is the aggressor that exiles and destroys the northern kingdom. In Yehuda, 46 walled cities will be invaded and burned, and Yerushalayim will survive by dint of a miracle. The storm is approaching." End quote. Thus, according to this interpretation, an earthquake strikes Jerusalem in order to express the political earthquake that has struck the Middle East, whose reverberations will profoundly impact the sacred city. This is no doubt true, but there is one other fascinating event in the history of biblical Israel at this moment, one to which Rabbi Israel refers, and that is the intense outpouring of prophecy. And therefore, we can suggest that perhaps the earthquake embodies not only political events, but also a profound upheaval in the form that revelation takes among God's people. Let us see how this is so. Throughout the story of biblical Israel, there have been prophets sent at the direction of the divine, guiding Israel through the challenges it faces. But as the Tanakh scholar Yitz H. Shalom has pointed out, if we look carefully, we will also see how the role of the most famous prophets in society evolves. Thus, originally, the prophets are themselves the leaders, such as Joshua, Deborah, Samuel. With the rise of King David, we find what H. Shalom calls court prophets, those that are part of the palace retinue, though they still fearlessly inform the king when he has failed. The most famous of these prophets is Nathan, who challenges David after the sin of Bathsheba. But we have also met the prophet Gad, who counsels David after the king wrongly numbers the nation. But after David, as H. Shalom points out, we see the rise of what he calls the charismatic prophets, those that speak from outside the system, challenging it, such as Elijah. This is fascinating, and we in turn can build on this by noting that what suddenly appears in the age of the earthquake is a form of charismatic prophecy the likes of which has never been seen before. Whereas Elijah castigates and produces miracles, whereas Elisha oversees the overthrowing of monarchies, these new prophets speak more often in poetry than prose and proclaim visions filled with mysterious metaphors, as much messianic in nature as they are pragmatic and political. This is especially true of the prophet whose biblical book will become somewhat synonymous with prophecy itself, and whose career will be defined by Jerusalem, his place in it, and his eschatological visions of its future. This, of course, is Isaiah, whose biblical book begins with language utterly unseen before, as he criticizes Jerusalem for its failings and warns them of looming Assyrian disaster. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Yotam, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Elijah never spoke in this way. His manner was more direct. It seems as if prophecy itself has taken on a new form, and perhaps the earthquake is itself meant to mark an utter upheaval in the way that God speaks to man. In our earliest discussions about Jerusalem, we spoke of the sacred city as Jacob's Sha'ar HaShamayim, a gate of or a stairway to heaven, a portal to the divine. Those images bespeak a narrow connection between two realms, an opening. But what if, in the face of the looming Assyrian threat and the providential urgency of the hour, the usual barriers between heaven and earth were themselves suddenly ruptured, and what emerged was prophecy of a whole different sort, visions of God of a whole different sort? Indeed, the rabbinic sages link Isaiah's vision of God enthroned in Jerusalem with the earthquake that occurred there. This is chapter 6 of the book, though it is, for the rabbis, Isaiah's first prophecy. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, With two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Here we seem to see all barriers between heaven and earth suddenly vanish as God, enthroned on high, allows for his glory to suffuse earth itself. We are told that the temple shook. This seems to refer to the earthquake, but it is more than tectonic plates shifting in the Holy Land's sacred soil. What is happening seems to be affecting the very connection between God's realm and Israel's. This is the summoning of Isaiah. And while he takes his place as a successor to earlier seers, he is also quite different. Samuel gives us no prophecy such as this, nor did those in David's court bequeath a vision like this unto us. What we have in this earthquake is genuine spiritual upheaval, new visions of the divine, new information about a Jewish return to Jerusalem, a prediction of a blooming yet to come in the wilderness, and a messianic age in the future. We will discuss Isaiah's vision very soon, as we will learn about Isaiah himself and his place in the sacred city. One of the fascinating facts of Jewish history is that it is precisely in moments of terrible crisis, of political earthquake or religious rupture, that great figures tend to rise to meet the moment. And as we will see, out of the physical rubble of earthquake-struck Jerusalem will emerge not only Isaiah, one of the greatest of seers, but also Hezekiah, one of the greatest political leaders in Jewish history. For now, we may conclude today by noting that in the remnants of the earthquake uncovered by archaeologists, what is being found is more than evidence of a natural event. The Times of Israel quotes archaeologists who excitedly argue that now the dating of the excavation can be attained through Amos. Quote, this provides an archaeological anchor for Jerusalem, which can now begin to be developed for the relative dating of assemblages before and after this anchor. In this sense, the Amos earthquake may serve Jerusalem's archaeology in the same manner as the destruction of Lachish in 701 BCE, end quote. This is true, but for us, we are finding more than an anchor moment in Holy Land chronology. We are studying evidence that marks a tectonic shift in the Jewish relationship with God, and a reminder of a moment when Jewish scripture changed forever. Some generations after this, prophecy will suddenly cease, and the revelation of the voice of God will fall silent. But the prophecies made in this moment will sustain the Jewish people and their bond to Jerusalem for generations to come. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.